I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello, everybody. I don't know why I'm blanking out on the fact that it's me, Matt Rossi, and I'm hosting the Blizzard Watch podcast. My brain just decided it wasn't going to talk about that. How you doing? It's been a week. It's been a week for everybody. I'm here with Liz and Joe. I'm just going to jump right into this because they basically dropped this today while I was waiting for the patch to patch. The Dragonflight Alpha has a new patch on it, which is got warriors. It's finally got the three warrior talents, arms, fury, and protection. I'm currently messing around with the talents. I think it would be actually be easier for me to talk about this if you guys ask me something and I will try and answer it. Because right now, I'm having a really hard time explaining how I feel about this. So I'm going to go with Joe. Go ahead and ask me a question, Joe.
So now that you have an actual like look and hands-on with the talents, what is your initial reaction to them now that you've had your hands on them?
They've taken way too much and made it talents to the point where there's no reason. If you pick a spec, you have to take these talents. They are spec defining. There's no way you're not going to. I mean, the Bloodthirst one is fine because it's literally the first thing you get in Fury. You have to take it, and every Fury warrior is going to have it. But Rampage is down the tree a bit, and it just... I keep feeling like, you know, they made everything into the talents, and nothing feels like a specialization ability anymore because nothing is. And I don't like that. I don't feel like I have as much room to play around and take talent stuff as I would want. That being said, I do like some of the stuff they've done with the talents. Like, for instance, I like how they've made a single-minded Fury work, that it's a talent now. I like that they've brought... I'm really happy they brought Stances back. Stances were so much a part of the warrior class, and then they were just gone. And... it doesn't, like, they don't feel exactly like they did. They're not the same, and I think that's fine. But having them be talents that you pick up means that you don't have to have all of them. Like, maybe you don't want to have defensive stance. Maybe you do. And that's, I would like it if they'd put in some of the talents are broken. Also, not broken in the sense of that's too powerful. Literally broken. Right now, yeah. They don't work. This is an alpha test. Yeah. You have to expect that. But in general, I'm like 50-50. Like, some of it really excites me and some of it really depresses me. And I am not super happy, but neither am I particularly upset, if that makes sense. Like, I feel like we will see more iteration, and I know I will be filling out reports when I'm done transmog farming and actually get to do some questing. Yeah, I definitely know that there's some stuff. I do like some of the ways they've structured things, and some of the talents where it, like, one of the things they've done with the talents for every class is they have that you get to a certain node and this particular node is actually two talents, and you pick one of the two. They've done really interesting things with some of the talents here for Warriors. I noticed one for Prot, and I was like, ooh, that's interesting. There's a lot of interesting stuff there. So I'll say that much. Liz, ask me a question.
I mean, they ask you a question. What kind of question am I supposed to ask you?
That's not the one. That doesn't count.
No, Dad. Nice try, Liz.
I'm confused. I'm confused. What am I supposed to go with here?
Ask me something about Warriors.
Warrior is genuinely a class that I have never in my life played to max level in any expansion. I do not think I have played a Warrior over level 10. So my Warrior knowledge is purely that they stand in front of things, so they hit the Warrior and I don't have to get hit. That's my knowledge of Warriors.
Well, that's a good time to me talk about the DPS specs then. there's two of them, Arms and Fury. Arms feels a little... There's a lot of stuff that they're bringing in from, like, for instance, like, I think three or four Covenant abilities are in here. There's a lot of stuff to discuss about it. I feel like this is the build that they were working on, like, two or three alpha, like, internal alpha builds ago. And they've moved on, and they're doing other things by now. So it feels weird to talk about it to a degree, but one of the things that I do like is they've put some of the stuff that you can, I would think of as talent specialization stuff, into the class talent tree. I'm actually going to pop it open. Yeah, there we go.
Can I butt in here? Sure. I think it's interesting that some of the stuff has moved into the class tree, because that allows you to do that hybridization stuff. You can be like the protection warrior and maybe you grab some furious things if you want to lean that direction a little more.
Look right here.
I mean, I'm on the same...
I know you guys can't see it, but for people who can see this, you can see right here, this is one of the not the things is you can get bounding stride, or you can get shattering throw. And they're very different. Like, one of them is a movement ability. It reduces the cooldown on heroic leap, and it allows you to, like, increase your run speed after you use it, versus shattering throw, which, breaks, it ignores armor when it deals damage, and it does like 500% damage to absorb shields. So it's interesting. It's an interesting, why are these two? Why are we tweaking between them? Another one is, like, up here, we've got second wind or intervene. And if you look, as you get down the tree, like, shockwave is a warrior talent, not a fury talent.
Yeah, there's a lot of that I saw that. Well, I mean, not to interrupt, but like, that's something I noted with like the shaman tree too. Like, some of it didn't make sense why it was a shaman ability, oh, not spec specific.
I'm not saying that this doesn't make sense. In fact, I think this is a great move, and here's why. Shockwave is cool, and there's no, like, when it's just a prod ability, only tanks get to have it. But I mean, this is now something that you could build your AoE spec around doing these shockwaves. And it's a cone stun. So it won't just hit them, it'll stun them. You could have a bunch of warriors in your raid, and they all have shockwave, and they could just rotate it. And you could just stun things, like, for 2 seconds. That's an interrupt to everything in front of you. Unless it can't be stunned. There's lots of things you can't stun them, but if you can stun them, even if they have a bar around, you know, that shield they put around interrupt so you can't interrupt things? Like, if someone's going to cast bar with a shield, you can't interrupt it. If they can be stunned, that will stop them from casting, even if they're not interruptible. And that's, any warrior could have it. I mean, it's near the bottom of the tree, but it's really interesting. Like, and there's the rumbling earth talent that you could get, which is when shockwave strikes at least 3 targets, its cooldown is reduced by 15 seconds. So you could get shock down from 40 seconds down to 25 seconds. And that's just right here in the tree. It's not in, this is a fury warrior. And I'm looking at it right here. It's really interesting. And they have stuff like, they have all the old arms specializations, like two-handed weapon specialization, which they have a work in progress thing on here that will allow you to dual wield and still specialize. Right now, that's not there, but it will be available, which means that your Titan's Grip Fury Warrior could take two-handed weapon specialization. And it's an interesting philosophy that they're adapting. There's stuff in here like Spear of Bastion. I know Condemn is around here somewhere. I can never remember where it is, but I do know it's here somewhere. I'll look around for it. But they've got, here's Avatar. Here's Spear of Bastion. There's that Shockwave. I mean, it's just, it's interesting. And I've been playing my Paladin, who doesn't have his Holy spec yet, which is real annoying for me because I play Holy when I play Paladins. But I've been playing the Rhett and Prot ones, and they have a lot of similar kind of stuff. And it makes me wonder, like, since the Paladin, just straight up Paladin class tree is in, like, what's the deal with Holy? Why is it such a holdup? And it is just I have a hard time believing that they're going to release this by December.
We talked about that before too. Like it's not that, like, I think we doubt their ability as developers or anything like that. It's a monumental, like, task.
If when they pull it off, I will be very, very happy for them. And if they do have to delay it, I will not be surprised nor particularly upset, because they are doing a lot of work. This is, you know, every time I say something like that, people like get mad that I'm like defending Blizzard or whatever, but it's not a question of defending anything. It just, think about how many talent specs they're redesigning.
And especially, like, one thing to point out is, like, the idea of, like, this is something that when we had this conversation, they use Agile and blah, blah, blah. Basically, modern day Agile software development is everything is in crisis mode. In looking at the amount of work that they're doing with, like, the talent trees and the amount of revisions that they're probably going to have to do, like, one of two things is going to happen, right? Either it's going to have to get delayed potentially to make sure that it is actually functional, because the last thing I want to see is, and Liz and I have had this conversation offline, like, Holy Paladin doesn't seem like it feels good right now. And I can let Liz talk about that, because I'm not the authority, but, like, putting the time in to make it feel good for players is kind of important, right? So, like, I wouldn't be upset if they take more time with it. The other option is, like, they crunch, and we don't like crunch. Crunch is bad. Crunch burns people out and causes irreparable harm. So, no. But yeah, what do you think, Liz?
I mean, I'm not super thrilled by what I'm seeing on the Paladin side so far, but what I am enthusiastic about is that we have seen Blizzard seriously responding to feedback. Like, we've already seen some notable changes to classes and specs based on what the community has said. So I'm very curious to see, like, Paladins version 2, because right now, like, I've looked at Paladins, the only class I know well that has trees out, and they don't have trees for Holy, like we said, and that's my spec. So I'm not 100% expert on Rhett or protection, but, like, the Paladin class tree, there's not a lot of interconnectedness in it. It seems to really push you down, okay, Holy goes down to the left, protection kind of goes wherever the hell it wants, everyone takes the center, and retribution takes the right. Like, that's just how it's laid out, and there aren't interconnections where you could go back and forth. So everyone's going to take the center tree. Holy has to take the center and the left. Retribution has to take the center and the right. And protection has to take the center and then whatever it feels like. And it's just weird. It's laid out in a weird way. It also feels like every paladin has to take all of the top of the tree. Like, all of it. You just need it. And one of the things Matt was saying about warrior specs, about you could choose to have certain specs and stances, you could choose to have certain stances you want, right? I was thinking, oh, it would be cool if I could choose what auras I wanted and only have those auras. And it kind of does that. Like, devotion aura is a talent, and retribution aura is a talent. But, like, you got to take both of them. It doesn't matter because they're positioned in the tree where you have to take both of them if you want to get, like, core abilities that you will need and want. So, like, it's kind of like a choice and it's kind of not a choice. What I'm really interested in seeing how Blizzard responds to this, and I have seen them respond to other classes, and it's going to be interesting to see what Paladin version 2 is. And the other thing, Retribution Paladins. It's like a hard split between AoE and single target. It's like you're picking AoE or you're picking single target, and never the two shall meet. Which, on one hand, that's kind of interesting, because if you're, like, raiding and you're going into a situation that you know is, like, 99% single target damage, great. You spec straight for it and you go for it. You, like, really hone in your spec. And if you need to do AoE, change your spec. do the other spec. You can save spec templates and you can move around as you needed, as long as you're out of combat. You don't need to be in a rested zone. You don't need an item or anything like that. So it's kind of interesting, but it's also like, okay, retribution doesn't really have cleave damage or anything like that. You have to make a choice to go single target or to go AoE. And that seems like a weird choice to not have anything in the middle. And retribution is actually kind of like that right now. It's like when you're spending holy power, it's like, okay, I can hit the single target button or I can hit the AoE button. And it's like, I have no cleave. I have no middle ground here. If I'm doing single target damage, I'm not doing anything to other targets. And if I'm doing AoE damage, I'm doing very light damage to a single target. So it feels kind of weird. It feels like there's some really stark lines in both the class tree and the spec trees that you were going to have to go down, and you're going to have to make those choices depending on the situation. I do think making situational choices is interesting, but I don't know. It feels very stark, if that makes sense.
The other thing that I'm concerned about too right now with the way that trees are laid out is how encounter design is going to look and work like this, because part of the big pull of having broad trees is, and they've said this, is being able to play how you want, right? Or making choices that are fun, or meaningful or whatever. But if all of the encounter designs push you a certain way, it kind of takes that away, but we haven't really seen a lot of that yet. So I'm interested once we start getting into like fight testing, right?
Yeah. The other thing is that the value of some of these talents is going to depend very heavily on how they're tuned.
Agreed.
Like right now, the end cap healing talent in the general tree is like, it's currently a legendary that no holy paladin ever uses. So it's like, are they going to tune this way up so it's going to feel impactful and good? Or is this just going to be crap choice that no one's ever going to go to the bottom of the tree because it's unappealing? It's an ability that we've had in Shadowlands and haven't liked. So, like, why are you bringing us this unappealing thing? Like, what? So I have concerns. I have hope, though. I have hope that this will be worked out, that we will figure out a thing. And I don't know. I just don't know if I feel like playing a paladin anymore. And I mean, it's not because these trees are terrible. It's just because I really struggled in Shadowlands. I mean, holy paladins have been really good. They have kind of a unique play style, being in melee and really like doing some damage, which is fun. But I don't want to be in melee. I did not roll a paladin to hit things in melee. I rolled a paladin to be a healer. And in Shadowlands, they really kind of hard pushed you into melee. They've been pushing us into melee for a long time. And that is not really what I'm enjoying. And they've spent every single patch in Shadowlands, they have nerfed holy paladin healing. Because holy paladins are doing too much damage, because holy paladins are in melee, because they're pushed into melee. And I don't have fun sitting in melee and having to dodge things and also maintain a DPS rotation and also maintain a healing rotation and also watch 20 health bars on my screen while dodging everything on the floor. And it's really hard. And I work really hard to do like 50% of the healing that other healers do. And it's just, it's very frustrating. And it would be nice if Dragonflight gave me some new options. That's what I'm hoping for. Go for it. Yeah, that was kind of the end of my thought. That's what I'm hoping for.
I was just going to say, I was initially going to say you should try Evoker, but I've been playing Evoker as heals. My wife and I ran through the start zone and did some stuff, and I really like them as healers, but they are definitely up in your face when they heal. Like they're not like in melee. They're actually like a little bit out, but they're a fairly short range caster.
Yeah,
like they're it's called middle range or something.
Middle range. Yeah.
Yeah, but it feels more
they're
like
25 yards.
Yeah.
They actually remind me a lot of how healers in Wildstar played.
But I've never played Wildstar, so I don't really know how to compare that. But I will say that one of the things I noticed was that we have a thing here about talking about how they're the most mobile class yet. And what gets me is, as the healer is concerned, they have a button that basically, it's like a, I forget what it's called, but it's like you pop up off the ground and kind of glide. You just glide around. It's a little bit like the theme. Yeah, it's a little bit like what priests do, except it only lasts like about 10, 15 seconds.
Unless you talent into it lasting longer.
Yeah. But that 10, 15 seconds, you can cast while you are moving.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a real, and it refreshes really fast. Like it's, I think it's like a minute. It's not that long to get it back. And it's just, it's amazing when you're doing certain fights. Like when there's like fights in the opening zone where he's dropping gunk on you and you just hit that button and skate out of it. And while you're skating, you can cast your flame strike heal thing.
It reminds me a lot of like Spirit Walker's Grace for Shaman when that's.
Yeah, but it's better. It is an interesting and fun healing spec. It's got like an AOE heal that's kind of like a heal bomb that you just throw at people and it hits them and then everything around them gets healed by the splash of it. And then it's got the the flame strike heal where you're, I don't remember what it's called, but you're throwing flames at people and healing them with the power of the red dragon flight,
basically. Serene flame or whatever.
Yeah. And those are the only heals I've got right now, but I'm looking at the talents and I know there are more coming.
They have a heal version of deep breathing, which is really interesting. They have one where you zoom to the person, grab them and heal them and then zoom away with them.
Yeah. It's kind of like the faith pull thing. But if you healed with it, it's really interesting. There's just a lot of interesting, nice stuff here. They've got that thing where a lot of their stuff is quote unquote enhanced, where if you just push the button, something will go off. But if you push the button and hold it, the longer you hold it, the more effective the thing is. It's kind of like a channel, but not.
Yeah.
So you can basically, it's like, you remember downranking? Like back in BC and Classic?
Oh, yeah. I remember downranking.
This is like, this thing has downranking built into it, where if you just push the button and you like push, let go, the spell will just cast at its lowest level.
I also feel it's important to note that currently in the user interface, you have the option to change that so you do not have to hold the button to do so.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
For accessibility. I just want to throw that out there for people at home.
Yeah, but that's even then you tap it and then you tap it again.
Sure.
And you still have to wait and you'll get like the three different effects. That's the thing that interests me because I said it's like it's downranking built in. Like you push it and push it again immediately if you're using the Switch version and you just cast the first level of it. Or if you push it, wait, see it cross a bar, then push it, you get the second version. And if you go all the way to the end, you get the third version, which is the most powerful version. So the longer you wait, the stronger it gets. But you obviously have to decide, can I afford to wait and possibly get interrupted? And so it's just an interesting way of playing this. There's a lot to the Evoker as a healer. I have not done them as a DPS, so I can't speak to it. Honestly, they feel a little... The little bit of solo leveling I did before I decided, no, I'm just gonna play this with my wife and I'm gonna spec heals and she can worry about being DPS. I didn't like it. I didn't like them as a DPS class. It feels like it needs to pick. Like it's trying to be like the paladin that Liz was talking about, the holy paladin. It was kind of trying to be like a caster version of that, where it does stuff with its claws, but it does other things to do damage. But it just, I don't know. It didn't feel very satisfying to me, and I don't know that I can put it into better terms. Have either of you played an Evoker yet?
Yes. Quite a bit.
I played a little, but I don't have a good feel for it. Like, I haven't, as you say, it has kind of new mechanics. It has an unusual spell range, and it hasn't clicked with me the amount I've played it. I've played DPS. I haven't tried healing, though. I've looked over all the healing talents, and it has some really neat things. It feels like a class that I just really need to play around with and have an extensive amount of time to play around with and do some dungeons and things before I can like even understand what the heck is going on.
I will say that the starting zone for them does actually teach you quite well the abilities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
It is really well designed in that regard. So like, because I had a bunch of people ask me, like how complicated it's going to feel. Is it going to be something they can pick up? You know, I do feel that they did a very good job tutorializing the class. So, but I mean, I'm excited. I'm excited to see them in live content, honestly.
Yeah. I last messed with them before the starting zone was out, so I haven't actually run through the starting zone. So maybe that's my error, and I need to roll a new one and go through the starting zone.
Highly recommended.
Yeah, the starting zone does really do teach you a lot. It does really do. What the heck is it? But you know, it does teach you quite a bit. We should we could talk about the accessibility options. I kind of thought we did already talk about them, but we can talk about them again.
Well, they're still tweaking them, I think, as well, right?
Yeah. They've changed the interface every time they've put a new patch down. It's changed again now, if you go look at
it. Oh, yeah.
But I will say, Liz made a good point in this email that a lot of these aren't new. Like, it's not that these are all brand new. It's the fact that they're all consolidated.
Yeah.
That they're all in one place and they're relatively easy to find now. That's the real thing. I think a couple of them are still new. I think the disparate amount of colorblind options is new. I thought before they just had the one.
No,
now they've got like three.
No, I'm afraid they do. They do have three in live game.
Yeah, because I had to use them to in order to do the angry boss in. Why can't I remember the name of it? The Rage. The Rage of N'Zoth, because that thing was giving me a migraine. I had to actually turn on colorblind mode. But yeah, they have a bunch of different ones.
Yeah, but they've basically consolidated everything. They did decide not. I mean, they've got a motion blur one for when the shaky camera or for screen motion stuff. I don't know if that's new. Quite honestly, I've never noticed the shaky camera thing before. But they have that in there now too. There is a fair amount of stuff there. So that's cool. I don't really have much else to say
The user interface options throughout have been really streamlined. The menus have been streamlined. Well, I don't think the arrangement of the menus has been changed since the game launched, has it been? It's basically we've bolted more onto the existing menus. Am I remembering that right?
You are. It's been very limited in its
mostly update. Mostly instead of changing, they just add stuff to things that they already had.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But this is
so it feels like
different. Like, look, if you look at here, I've brought it up for people who are watching this stream. You've got the system, and then there's four subcategories of graphics, audio, language, and network. Then there's gameplay, and there's five subcategories of controls, interface, raid profile, social, and key bindings. And then there's accessibility with general, colorblind mode, and text-to-speech. By the way, text-to-speech, really interesting that they have this. This is mostly for voice chat, but there's a transcribe voice chat feature. There's a read chat text out loud feature. There's the speak for me in voice chat feature, which the thing will now you can even pick which voice you want it to use.
And what I think is interesting about the accessibility options and the entire kind of menu system overhaul is this is like Blizzard is looking at this for maybe the first time seriously since the game was launched and like modernizing it and making all of these options easier to find. One thing I would certainly do is, you know, make that auto loot option auto checked when you roll a new character, which it's been 18 years and you still have to go dig through menus and find that option and click it.
Yeah, I don't.
Not
I don't
that do I'm auto loot bitter ever. Or anything.
Yeah, for me, really? I hate that. No, I don't do auto loot ever. I want to know what I'm looting.
Okay, so
I'm one of those people.
You
I'm
are
weird.
The one for which it's not. You're the person for which it is not auto selected.
Yes, but the thing is, I'm a middle-aged white man, and I present as cisgender. So the world should revolve around me and only me. I think that they should basically, they should probably make auto loot because just about everybody I know uses it. I definitely think that it should be easier to get in the first place. Just, you know, whether or not you want it auto-checked, it should be easier to find, even than it is now. They have made changes.
Yeah, even in this modernized menu system, I still couldn't tell you where it is without like digging around. It's somewhere, but it's like they've looked at the menu system and just thought about it from a modern perspective for the first time in nearly 20 years. And it shows it's much easier to find things. Things are grouped together in more reasonable ways. And I mean, it's not a change that's going to make or break your enjoyment of the game. It's not a change that's going to make you more powerful or less powerful. It's nice. It's nice that they took the time and thought about this because the game, you know, needs this stuff.
I am here, guys. Sorry, I'm just looking at the email. It's like, I'm not talking. I'm trying to think. I haven't done anything with the profession, so I don't know what to do. But they've brought in inscription and skinning. I was actually worried they weren't even going to have inscription. because I hadn't seen anything for it. I was like, okay, but they've brought in inscriptions.
They've been bringing in professions like two at a time with each alpha build. So not all the professions are out yet. But yes, they rolled out skinning and inscription today. I'm interested in looking at skinning. Skinning is the first gathering profession that they've added to the alpha.
Yeah, and I got to say, I wasn't really thinking skinning really needed much of a revamp. I mean, do gathering professions need a revamp?
I don't know.
Yeah, we're definitely going to see if they have one. There's specializations. Maybe there's, I don't know what they are. I could go back to town and actually look. They have all the vendors up, but yeah.
Maybe there are specializations for all of them. So it's going to be interesting. The professions are a lot more complicated than they used to be. And I think that's probably a good thing. What do y'all think?
I'm going to let Joe talk, Joe.
No, I've talked a lot, please.
All right. I was just going to say, I remember picking up blacksmithing forever ago on my main, my original main, who is no longer my main, but, and he's been blacksmithing and enchanting since vanilla. And I have a lot of vanilla recipes on him that I'm never going to get because they don't even exist anymore in some cases. So I'm not going to change his professions, but I think in general, I might start experimenting with professions now. Like actually, instead of just defaulting to, oh yeah, gathering and I guess I'll go with blacksmithing or gathering and I guess I'll go with engineering. I'll actually look at leatherworking. I might go, especially if they've got specializations for gathering professions, I might go double gathering again, which I haven't done in a while. I used to go like blacksmith. I used to go mining and the skinning all the time because it was just such a great, you know, you're leveling a character up. That's a great approach. Just to, you know, throw all the stuff you get on the auction house. So if the specializations are cool, that's something I might do again. But I don't know. I don't know how I feel about professions that used to just be able to be done anywhere now suddenly requiring like a table. Do you need a table to disenchant things? Or can you just disenchant anywhere? Do you know?
Disenchanters can just disenchant anywhere still.
Okay, good. Because that was really bugging me.
But the new enchanting isn't in the game yet, I don't think.
Yeah, the new enchanting hasn't been discussed. I'm just talking about current enchanting, like on live.
No, I'm talking about in this.
Yeah, so we don't.
No, we have no idea for alpha.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, you know, if you can't just, I don't know, maybe it would be good if you can't just disenchant stuff in a group. Maybe that, you know, because people like were really weird about it. They had to actually make it so that if there was an enchanter in the group, everybody could just get the thing disenchanted through the interface. Remember that?
Yep.
When they, so maybe that's good that instead, you know, you can't disenchant in a raid at all or in a party and you'd have to take the thing away with you to get it done. I don't know.
That might make grouping more complicated because if you're in, you know, an LFG group, people you don't know, a drop drops, no one wants it. It's like, oh, I can disenchant this, but I have to go to town and then I'll have to find you later and give it to you. And it's like, that's never going to happen.
Or there's, yeah, but remember that they've put in the work orders for some professions. Imagine if you could just take the piece and say, yeah, I'm going to get it in disenchanted and just work order it and, you know, just give it to a random person who then disenchants it and sends you back the mats.
You hit exactly on what I think they're intending to do. So I actually think that work orders are going to replace on the fly crafting. And I think that's the intention. And I have no bearing or no reason to really, you know, think that other than just looking at like what they're proposing and what they're doing. I personally do not like the idea of having to go to a specialized location to do your craft or do something, right? I think it's you get a brand new piece of gear while leveling. You happen to be leveling your profession at the same time. If you need to craft something for that piece of gear, and you have to stop leveling, stop engaging with the story, stop engaging with the game to go all the way back to a hub to do the thing, then find your way all the way back. That's not fun to me, right? That's
but they have the things not at the hub. They have them just out in the world. Like you can just stumble across an alchemy altar or whatever.
Yeah. And
once you know where they are, you're still having to go somewhere, but you're not going away. You're not leaving the zone. You're just going to the place in the zone where you know you can do it. I'm not saying that it's great. I'm just wondering if that will make it less awful, if that makes sense.
I mean, what are you imagining you're going to have to do to gear while leveling? You think to apply gems or enchants or things like that while you're leveling up?
Enchants, sockets if you get gems, or you know, things like that. And I'm just spitballing, right? Because like that's something we see see now when we're like we're raiding or when we're doing dungeons or when we're like you're doing a quest that like rolls and gets sockets or whatever. I again, we haven't really gone into a whole lot of detail about how that's going to look in the future. I'm basing this purely off of what we have now live in game. So everything, grain of salt, etc. But it's like it's things like that that I question. Like imagine like I'll use our raid as an example. Like we were raiding with our main tank and one of his he's switching over to a different class because he was going from Death Knight to Warrior and his Warrior was undergeared. He got a piece of gear that was a massive upgrade for him. We gemmed and enchanted it right there on the spot in raid. If we had to go all the way back and wait for him to come back, that would have taken X amount of time where, you know, everybody else is just kind of sitting around. So
except, you know, if you already have a gem crafted, we don't know that you're going to have to go back to a place to apply the gem. Same with enchants. If you have an enchant on a scroll, we don't necessarily know that you're going to have to like there's not necessarily a reason for Blizzard to make that less convenient than it already is. And it seems like I agree with you. That would be a big downside. But we also haven't seen anything that says it's going to be that way.
Very true, right? Like we have no idea right now because they haven't really talked a lot about it, but it's I'm just giving because Matt asked the question, I'm giving my opinion, right? It's just I don't like things that take me out of the flow of playing the game, if that makes sense. So
it makes perfect sense. Yeah, I mean the situation you have described is like would be a very bad situation, and hopefully Blizzard already knows this and will not go now, that way because that would be awkward.
I could see them building in something to like engineering like they did in the past where, oh, Jeeves becomes a portable anvil or something like that. Because we had that at one point, right? Because there was a time where
we don't have portable.
Yeah, I've actually got like four portable anvils in my bag right now.
Because don't forget, like at one point in time, professions literally required this for certain things.
I mean, like for instance, you're talking about like the alchemy lab that you had to go into Scholomance for.
Mm-hmm.
There was another one inside Blackwing Lair. And of course, blacksmithing to this day requires the anvil. Like you can't do blacksmithing without an anvil. So the portable anvil.
The difference is that now, not only the portable anvil, but now because you had the gnomish or goblinish multi-tool that counted as everything, right? So they made a lot of conveniences that you could just do stuff on the run. Because people were getting pulled out or having to carry extra stuff around and things like that. So I don't know. It'll be interesting. I'm curious to see what they do with professions because again, we've been crying for a long time about professions need an update. They do. I'm just curious what the end result is going to be.
Well, as much as I do think we have a lot more we could talk about, we just spent 41 minutes on Shadowlands. We haven't even talked about, Dragonflight. We haven't even talked about Shadowlands season 4 or Castle Nathria, both which went live today. I feel like I got to at least mention them. So I'm going to.
Yeah, we have to talk about season 4 at least.
So first off, Castle Nathria for Hearthstone, that's out today as we're recording this.
Yep.
I don't think there's anything really new to say about it, so I'm not going to jump on that too much, but I am going to bring up some of the Shadowlands season 4 stuff. First off, for some reason, whenever I go to find posts about it, I hit the EU sites. I don't know why that is. It's kind of confusing. But regardless, I'm trying to think of the thing to talk about first. The Season 4 raid achievement, I think we'll mention first. It's only available to normal or higher. You can't get it in LFR. The achievement text originally suggested LFR, but it is not the case. That's why you're seeing a lot of people setting up boosts and carries to get people the achievements and stuff. One of the reasons for that, too, is that people want to get the faded raid meta achievement, the Fate of the Shadowlands raids, which is the slime cat mount, Jigglesworth Sr., which is, you know, it looks like a nightsaber made out of goop.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just looks like a nightsaber made out of goop. I am deeply not interested in this mount, but, you know, a lot of people are really unhappy that they can't get it. And a lot of people are like trying to get into guilds and so forth so they can. I can see its skull. I mean, I can see its skull. And why does it have a skull and its backbone are clearly visible, but none of its leg bones are there? But regardless, a lot of people want it. So, you know, that's something people are talking about. The Shadowlands Winds of Wisdom buff, which was only in place till Season 4 started, that's gone. And a lot of people would like it back because they want it to extend it so they can use it to get Dragonflight characters. Like if they want to switch their alts or you know switch to an alt and change that to a main or what have you, they'd like to have the Winds of Wisdom buff. But Blizzard is not wanting to do that. I don't necessarily think that they would need to. I don't know how much time we have left. They've said... One of you tell me if I'm wrong here, but I'm pretty sure they've said that this is going to be a shorter season, that it's not going to be as long as previous season. And that to me says that this is going, they're going to, at some point they're expecting to launch this thing even closer to now than December. So I don't think if that's the case, I don't think we really need the Winds of Wisdom because you're not going to really have time, but I don't know.
Well, I mean, with Winds of Wisdom, you might have time. I don't know. There's just been... I've actually been surprised that there's been a pretty significant player outcry about losing the Winds of Wisdom buff, which if no one knows what we're talking about, that is a plus 50% experience buff. So you could level up those alts to play in Season 4. And it was meant to end today, and it did end today. But a lot of people are like, no, why not just leave it until Dragonflight so we can finish leveling up and be ready for the expansion at our leisure? And yeah,
I think people are remembering. I don't know.
That's all I got.
That, I think people are remembering the way it was back in Battle for Azeroth going into Shadowlands, where they brought that buff back and they even brought in the reputation buff that did the same thing, but for reputation. Mm-hmm. And they left it going for months. But the difference there was that that was during the biggest part of the pandemic. And it was very clearly a method to get people who were coming back to play WoW because they couldn't leave their homes. They were giving it to them as a, you know, here you go. You level faster while you're stuck in your house. I don't think that they're aiming to do that now, but Joe hasn't spoken about this yet. So I don't know if he has anything.
Nope. Nothing to add.
Okay. Do either of you want to talk about the ahead of the curve mount?
The ahead of the curve mount is really wild. It's like a tiny Halandris that you can fly around on. It's great, and the good news is that you can still get it, even though we've switched seasons and it's Season 4. You just have to go and kill the jailer. There's a drop off the jailer. You go and turn that in, and you're done. You can fly around on your own little mini Halandris. So that is one good thing that has not gone away with the season switchover.
Joe, do you have anything to say about that?
I mean, everybody should have it. It's fun. It has giant glowy balls that are its propulsion system. I love it.
I think it's worth mentioning that the question of whether or not we're going to get another level of legendaries for Season 4 is we are not. The last levels that we got back when the Xerath Mortis opened up, that's it. Which means that there's going to be eye level and faded heroic raids that's going to be just as good as the legendaries. And there'll be gear on Mythic. Faded Mythic is going to be significantly better. That's just what's going to happen. And I get why they're not necessarily going to boost them again, because partially they don't feel like they're going to be useful very much longer since they're planning on the season ending and the, you know, us switching to, you know, Dragonflight. I also find myself wondering if the legendary powers are significant enough that they don't think it matters. Like some of the legendaries are like straight up spec changing. They're like a tier set bonus in one item. So yeah, I don't know. Do either of you have a strong feeling about this one?
I'm glad I don't have to craft another legendary, and I'm sure crafters are glad that they don't have to level up another legendary level. I frankly think it's good. Otherwise, it's just a headache. You have to level up more for an item that you're going to throw in the trash when the expansion comes out.
Yeah, there's really nothing else I can say. Same boat.
All right. Well, that covers pretty much Season 4 in a nutshell. We have a post on the site about explaining how Faded Raids work and how that's going to be. One thing I feel like people have missed is that whilst the Faded Raids are going to rotate initially, eventually all raids will be faded. So eventually you will just be raiding Faded LFR, Faded Normal, Faded Heroic, or Faded Mythic. And saying faded that many times makes it sound like the word fetid, which is not the same thing. They're not the same. Fetid is bad. Fetid is like really bad cheese smell. So just, you know, they're not the same. But I do think that's an interesting thing to think about, that in a month or two, you might not even the raids as we've known them will be gone. Like, I don't know how that's going to work. Will you have a toggle? Can you just switch between original and faded versions? They haven't said anything about it. They just said that eventually all raids will be faded. So that's interesting.
I mean, will it be kind of like running a Mythic Plus where you have to go in and you put in your keystone and then you fire up the Mythic Plus with all of its extra stuff? I could see that being a thing.
That would be a cool way to do it.
But I don't know.
Or you talk to an NPC at the beginning of it.
Yeah, it's kind of Cho's back. Walker Cho.
I mean, we're going to find out tomorrow.
He's unescapable.
But also, one thing that Liz mentioned, Nexramas went live in Classic Season of Mastery last week.
On the 28th, I think?
It was like a few days after the initial phase happened. So yeah. But yeah. No one said anything about whether or not they've cleared it, I don't think. I assume they have, because man.
I mean, I went looking to see if someone had cleared it because I was expecting the usual news about how someone cleared it in 30 minutes and I couldn't find anything. So maybe I've just gotten really bad at finding news on the internet, or it seems impossible that it hasn't been cleared over the weekend. But yeah, Nexramas is there if you want to go raid Nexramas in Classic Season of Mastery.
So yeah, and at this point, I think, well, no, we still have a couple other things we can talk about really fast. We'll see if how fast we are talking about them will be. Diablo Immortals got some Season 3 information out. Basically, the season theme for the next season, Season 3, which is, I guess, in September, because the current one's in August, and it's happening right now. So,
They're rolling out seasons. They're rolling out seasons so fast.
Yeah, it is. Well, you know, Season 3 Battle Pass has got the Aspect of Justice thing, which is, it's a cosmetic where you look kind of like Tyrio, except you're wielding like a pick instead of an axe, but I don't know, you know, what that is. We've got the Wrathborn Invasions as a daily event where, you know, angry demons show up. That's kind of a Diablo thing. I don't know how surprised you can be, but they're going to show up at 12 o'clock PM server time each day, which is like the most predictable thing. It's like, that's not, demons usually aren't this predictable. Usually these guys are like, you know, oh no, they're here. Now it's like, yeah, get here already, man. I gotta pick my wife up. Come on. So yeah. But there you go. That's actually looks kind of interesting if you look at the way it's going to work, because it sort of feels like the invasions from Legion. You've got this whole thing where people are like, you know, you're attempting to keep them from getting control of the zone and stuff. It does feel a little bit like Legion. So that's interesting. And of course, there's the Hungering Moon limited time event, which, I mean, I didn't know that the moon got hungry and I didn't know it wanted blood, but there you go.
That one's been in the game for a few weeks though, hasn't it?
I feel like
that one's been around a little while.
Well, right now that Hungering Blood thing is now, but it's a limited time event. It's not going to be around forever, apparently. But it's it says August 12th, 3 o'clock a.m. to August 15th, 3 o'clock a.m. That's when the next one will be. And I assume it happens regularly from there. But that's something that they're talking about.
Oh, so maybe it rotates.
Yeah, it reoccurs, basically. Then there's Warband. Yeah, okay. Warband stuff. Vote to Kick is coming. So yeah, for people who, you know, just AFK their way through. So
yeah, one thing I noticed trying to do raids in Immortal is that you'll start a group and you'll be waiting and then someone will just be sitting there AFK and you can't go into the raid while someone's AFK, but you also can't kick them because they're in the group. You can't kick them out of the group. And that seems a little backward thinking. It's not very effective.
So yeah, that's coming and that'll be good. So yeah, we got that mentioned. I'm trying to think of anything else. No, we already talked about that. I did post the thing about Digimon Survive here. And I'm going to mention it because why not? I think at this point, we're not going to get to any emails, which is hilarious because I asked people for questions after not getting any for a few weeks. So of course, we ended up talking for the entire podcast. Sorry, guys. I love
that. There's so much going on.
I do appreciate the questions.
There's so much happening right now.
But Digimon Survive got review bombed because a lot of people were unhappy that it is a virtual novel. It is like a virtual novel.
It takes like 2 hours to get to actual gameplay or something like that.
Yeah. The gameplay is nestled between virtual novel stuff. I don't have a dog in this fight because while I love the Digimon theme song, I've never played a Digimon game or even completely watched a single Digimon cartoon. I know almost nothing about this. I just know that I like the theme song.
I literally just watched a video on this before the podcast. list.
Yeah. So,
because I was curious what all the hubbub was about.
I just think in general, this, I'm not going to get too heavy here, but the world we live in, there's so much stuff happening. And the thing you're mad about is a Digimon game not being what you expected, even though they admit they repeatedly said it's going to be a visual novel. Like, they didn't at first, but over the past year, they brought this up like 18 times. It's like, at some point, guys, if you're excited about the game, you should pay attention to what they're saying about it. Like, I get that, you know, when they were first doing it, they announced it was going to be something different. But, you know, when they first announced Halo, it was going to be a third person RTS type game. That's what the original announcement for Halo was. It was going, and also it was going to be on Mac, because Bungie at the time made Mac games. And it wasn't until after Microsoft bought them, you know? So
those were the days.
Well, I mean, you know, would it have been great if you'd gotten a third person Halo? What's really funny is apparently the whole reason Halo went first person was so they could drive around in the Warthog.
I mean, I remember when Bungie was a Mac developer and they were working on a series called Descent, which was really cool and fun. And as a Mac user, I remember that very clearly. Microsoft bought them and then it was no more games for Mac. Gone. No more Descent. You are making Halo for the Xbox forever.
Yeah, I mean, and then once they stopped doing that, they made Destiny. So, which I like Destiny, but it's not Marathon. I really wanted a new Marathon series. But anyway, yeah. So the whole thing with Digimon Survive and the review bombing—it's not even being review bombed because it's bad. It's being review bombed because it's a visual novel. And I don't know. Maybe I'm old. Maybe I'm cranky. But I feel like review bombing a game just because you don't like a genre it's in—I don't know. And now we've got people, now there's like review wars over this, where some people are going in and giving it 5-star ratings to combat the review bombing. And it's like, I really didn't think my dystopia was going to be this heavily involved in people fighting over video games.
I mean, and the funny thing is, or the sad thing is, this is common now. Like, it's happened with a whole bunch of games out there. Digimon is just, this is the latest one to get hit by it, right? Like, so many of the new games that are coming out, like, as soon as somebody latches onto it or like it gets in a subreddit somewhere, or, you know, or some personality or talking head on YouTube decides they don't like it, they just, people go and review bomb the games or games out there without ever touching them, playing them. They don't even know anything about them, but they're allowed to review them. I don't know. It's like you said, it's a dystopian hellscape out there, and there's so few things to be happy about. I don't understand why people just walk away. If you don't like something, that's fine. You don't have to like everything, and not everything has to be made for you. Just stop.
But yeah, Liz, do you have anything to say about Digimon or this thing before we move on?
I think visual novels are great. I want more of them. Let's do this. Okay. I also know nothing about Digimon. So
I'm going to go back to playing Boyfriend Dungeon.
Yeah, all I know about visual novels is that people keep asking me what I think of them, and I'm like, I've never heard of that. Like, is Haddonfield Boyfriend, you know, the pigeon boyfriend game, is that a visual novel?
I mean,
I would call it a visual novel.
I would absolutely call Haddonfield Boyfriend a visual novel.
So I know one. I've kind of played one.
Okay, there you go.
But regardless, we do, like, we've got like 2 minutes and we have a bunch of questions. And the Tetsemi one, I think I kind of answered your question, Tetsemi. Just, we were talking about Warrior stuff. But in general, I don't know how much fun this will be. Like, straight up, I can't answer that question because it's not finished yet.
Mm-hmm.
What I've done playing with it so far is it's okay, but the stances don't really provide enough to make them super fun. And I agree that maybe instead of having the stances they have, they should have maybe done some different ones. Because right now it's Battle, Defense, and Berserker. So it's the exact same stances we used to have back in vanilla. Why not throw in some other ones? Why not Gladiator stance, maybe in Prot? Why not, you know, I just feel like there's ways that they could have made it more interesting. But in general, I like that they're bringing stances back. Do either of you think you can read Roxy's thing? And do you think we can answer it in like a minute and a half?
Yeah, I think we could probably get through that. So I'll go through it if you want.
Go.
All right. For the podcast.
Go for it.
For the podcast. It is your goblin friend Roxy with a question related to the outrage around Jellycat and not being available on LFR. What are your best tips for fighting off social anxiety in game and finding a good guild? As a professional in mental health, it's sometimes hard to remove my knowledge on how to combat this. In my opinion, the game becomes much more fun when you do it with friends. It absolutely does do it with friends. I think we actually had a bunch of articles on the site. I don't know if they're archived at this point or how long ago it's been. Like, tips for finding guilds. We ran stuff like that not too long ago, didn't we? Liz, I'm looking at you.
Not within my memory, but I'm adding a post to the post queue right now because that's a really good idea. I mean, if we did do stuff about finding guilds, it's been many years. It's been quite a while since we have dedicated guild content because it wasn't very popular. But yeah, you're going to need a group for this.
Yeah, and honestly, like, there's a lot of ways that you can go about finding a guild. I'm going to tell you, if somebody's screaming in trade chat, probably not a good idea. But a lot of the community discords, our Discord is a really great place. I've seen people join guilds based off of making mutual friends there and talking there. Twitter communities are actually out there as well. We used to have a bunch of blog communities that were dedicated to it, but it's just take your time and feel it out. That's really the best option, the best advice I can give. What about you, Liz?
I mean, one thing I would pay attention to, warning signs.
How do you get over the social anxiety? People are going to tell you. Roxy's in chat. Roxy's clarifying. How do you help people get over the social anxiety about grouping? That's a much more complicated question.
I mean, that is a much more complicated question.
I can share how it happens for me.
You just have to.
Yeah.
What happens for me is that I usually know people who are in other guilds and I'm like, hey, can I join your guild and maybe come along occasionally on, like, you know, a couple raids as a DPS warrior in the back and no big deal. And they're like, you know, okay, yeah, sure, you can join and maybe we'll bring you along sometimes. And then 6 months later, I'm the main tank. This has happened to me. This happened to me every expansion up to Legion. Like, you know, what happened? Why am I suddenly in front of everyone and wearing a shield? Where did the shield come from? What's going on? Oh, okay, now I have to talk on Discord and tell people what to do? I have to tell people? I don't even know half of you guys. Okay. Hi, I'm Matt. I will be tanking this, I guess. Do any of you know the fight? No, because it's a brand new fight. That's great. I'm just going to charge him and see what happens. Okay. That's how it's worked for me. And I got to be upfront. It hasn't helped at all. I've been super anxious. I've been super anxious for how many years has it been? All of them. All of the World of Warcraft years. I'm very anxious when I tank. Anyway, don't do that. Don't join a guild and then suddenly find yourself the main. That doesn't help. In all sincerity, if you join a guild, you know, make it clear to them what you want to do, what you're looking to do, and make sure that it's a good fit. And both ways, you know, are they a good fit for your new, if you're in a guild and you're recruiting somebody, are they a good fit for you? Do you get along with them? Like when Joe joined the guild he's in now that Liz is now in, they of course immediately took to him because it's Joe and he's a lot of fun to raid with.
You just say that because I kept you alive.
No, I say that because, you know, you allowed me to heroic leap into the middle of a group of oozes and then thunderclap and they were all like, ah, kill this guy. And I was like, ah, running away. But yeah, no, seriously. Finding the group that you gel with is a big part of it. Anxiety drops when you feel comfortable, when you feel like, okay, I can be me. I won't have to put up with anybody saying or doing anything that's going to make me feel uncomfortable. If someone does, I know the people here will tell them to knock it off, that kind of thing. I think it's a really big part of it.
Liz was trying to say something. I want to let her answer.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And we lost Liz. Okay. I will then fill the time. The one thing that I do always remind people when we talk about social anxiety over grouping is when you're doing, for lack of a better term, you know, pug group content, you don't owe anyone any interaction. And it's sometimes okay to remind yourself of that. While there does need to be some form of communication sometimes for some of these fights, you don't have to respond to somebody if it's not important or if it's not relevant to the fight. And sometimes just reminding yourself of that is good enough to curb some of that anxiety. So,
I mean, everyone is going to have an opinion about people's performance. And, you know, sometimes people are going to say mean things, but you have to disconnect yourself from that. If you can't find a group that's a perfect fit and you're going into random groups, which random groups can be very difficult because you never know. Even I, I have been healing in this game for 18 years. I have been healing and joining a random group. I'm a little worried. Someone's going to maybe critique my healing skills. Someone's going to say, oh, you aren't good enough. Get out. Get out. And I still think that even all these years later, and I think you may be surprised that probably a lot of people think that, a lot of players think that, and are just as nervous as you are about getting into a group. Really, we are all people. We are all human people with our fears and anxieties. And I think actually a lot of people are going to understand that. And it's those occasional bad apples who are very noisy about it, who are very noisy about saying, oh, your spec isn't right. Your DPS isn't high enough. You should be doing more healing. Tank, you aren't pressing the right buttons. There's always going to be people like that. The thing is to
front man, if you tell me what buttons to press, I will destroy you, you jerk.
I mean, when people start getting on to me about healing, I've just learned, okay, I'm going to drop the group, and then you can see how long it takes you to get another healer in the queue. So have fun with that. Like, one thing you can do is just not take a tank or healing role.
Mm-hmm.
Your queues are going to be a lot longer, but having just going in as a basic DPS spec, there is less on your plate. You just need to focus on hitting things. And it's not necessarily your responsibility to keep the group alive. And having a lower responsibility level and just having one thing to like laser focus on, that can really help. You don't have to take a few worries off your plate.
All right. I don't know if there's a really quick answer we can give to that one. It is a very complicated question, but hopefully that did it some justice. Matt, is there anything else you want to add before we close it out?
Nope. I want you to do the thing.
I am going to do the thing now because Blizzard Watch is made possible due to the generous contributions at patreon.com/BlizzardWatch. Your continued support means this podcast site and community is able to thrive and grow. Blizzard Watch supporters enjoy exclusive benefits like early access to the podcast, better chance at having your question answered on our podcast or the queue, and an ads-free site experience.
Thank you, Joe. Even though we didn't get to them, I super appreciate the questions we have. Please keep sending them. I beg you. You can do this via our email address, which is podcast@blizzardwatch.com with podcast or Blizzard Watch, so we know it's for this show. Or you can use our Discord. We've got two channels for people to ask us questions. One is the Patreon Q and Podcast Questions channel. So if you're a patron, we look there first. All the questions I was going to read were from there this week. And they're really
Sorry.
Good. No, I like Tetsemi's one especially. But we did answer it in the body of the thing. So I feel like in a way we got two. And I will also say that the Starhammer, you're dang right. Spider-Man totally dead. Yeah, it's great. But if you'd rather do that, if you can't support us, however, we do have a channel for people who can't be patrons because we understand not everyone can be a patron. And that's just the Podcast and Q Questions channel. That's below the Q and, you know, the patron one. We look there too. I believe, Joe, didn't you do one based on a question in there for Lore Watch this week?
I did.
Yeah. So with that, I am going to say goodbye to you all because this is basically the entire podcast. We'll do a little after show, but probably not very long. Thank you guys for being here with us. We appreciate it every week when you guys show up, and we're going to be back next week.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.